Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
All right, so we just talked about this. As Mayor Walsh was preparing for his hearing, he may have prepped some new questions because yesterday he put newly appointed Boston Police Commissioner Dennis White on administrative leave pending an investigation. That is after allegations surfaced of domestic violence. Walsh named White to the post just last Thursday after White's predecessor, William Gross, abruptly announced he'd retire the next day. White officially took over Monday. So what is going on? In a few minutes, we want to take your calls. So start dialing now with your questions. What do you make of the news about Boston Police Commissioner Dennis White? What does this say about transparency and accountability in the city's police department and government? What's it going to mean for police reform? 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Let's get an update on what's going on from WBUR's Deborah Becker. Hey there, Deb.
Hi there.
So, Deb, tell us about these allegations and how serious they are.
Well, the domestic violence allegations are outlined in a police report in White's divorce documents. So that report shows that White's ex-wife, who was also a Boston police officer, sought a restraining order back in 1999, alleging that White pushed her and hit her. She also said that White told an acquaintance of theirs that he, quote, wanted to shoot her. The documents also say that White's 17-year-old daughter at the time said she was afraid because her father told her not to startle him because he sleeps with a gun under his pillow. Now, in other court papers, White disputed those allegations and pointed to documents where his wife said there was no physical abuse during their marriage. But the restraining order was issued. White was ordered to stay away from his home and his children for a time. He also had to surrender his service weapon. We haven't found any records of criminal charges against him. And of course, when the Globe found out about this and asked Mayor Walsh about these allegations that came out in the restraining order, Walsh placed White on leave, and Walsh issued a statement saying, quote, "These disturbing issues were not known to me or my staff, but should have been at the forefront."
How were they not known?
Well, that's a good question. It's hard to believe they were not known. White's ex-wife was a Boston police officer at the time, so he had two police officers in the same department. Also, as I said, White had to surrender his gun as a condition of the restraining order, so presumably his supervisor would have had to have been alerted to that fact. I also spoke with a current Boston police officer today who said that these allegations were known throughout the department, and many were questioning how White was chosen for the commissioner's post and whether this history would eventually become public.
To that question of how he was chosen, there was no search. This was fast last week. Would a search potentially have avoided this situation?
Well, presumably, right? Presumably a more thorough vetting process would have turned this up beforehand. I did talk about this with some folks today, including Chuck Wexler, who's executive director of the Police Executive Research Forum. Now, that's a police think tank based in Washington that helps cities with their police searches. He actually helped in Boston when the late Mayor Menino held a national search and chose Ed Davis as his commissioner. So Wexler, also another Boston connection here, interestingly, once worked for the Boston police, said each city handles how it chooses its chief differently. Some conduct big nationwide searches with large committees, and others are like Boston. They do it by mayoral appointment, and it can happen rather quickly. And Wexler said, though, with increased scrutiny on police, especially after last year's killing of George Floyd and the protests over policing and racism, he says cities like Boston should really be careful and consider how they select leaders in their police departments in particular, and those leaders should have their background scrutinized. Let's listen.
Every city is going to be different. I do think going forward that should be part of it. I mean, it's a cautionary tale. That is something to look going into the future, is to just to really review, you know, someone's past, even if they come from within a department.
And Wexler also said that with the new police reforms in Boston that were passed last year, the city should be working with a diverse group and really strongly identify where it is now and where it wants to be in the next few years.
So any information at this point, Deb, also on why William Gross, White's predecessor, left so abruptly? Have we heard?
No, and Gross hasn't commented on White being placed on leave either. When Gross announced his retirement last week, both he and Mayor Walsh said Gross was leaving to spend more time with his family. And we should also mention that White served as superintendent and chief of staff under Gross.
So what happens now, and who's in charge while it happens?
Well, the mayor has appointed Superintendent-in-Chief Gregory Long to serve as acting chief for now. And today, the city announced who it hired to conduct an independent investigation, and that is Attorney Tasman Kaplan of Davis Malm. And the city, a statement from the mayor's office said, quote, "We expect this process to be full, impartial, and expedient."
So, Deb, I know you're going to stay with us. We're going to add another voice and start taking calls at 800-423-8255. Also joining us now is Marie St. Fleur, a former Massachusetts state representative, now a principal at St. Fleur Communications. Marie served on the Boston Police Reform Task Force, as did Commissioner Dennis White. Marie, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hi, Tatiana. Good to be with you.
So, Marie, I'm just going to start by asking you your reaction to what's going on.
Well, I was surprised like everyone else. Honestly, I am sad for Superintendent White. I've had the opportunity over the past, during the summer, to get to know Superintendent White. I found him to be a credible individual who was committed to listening and implementing the reforms that we discussed. And so I was quite surprised to wake up this morning to the news that we are all listening. But I gotta say, I'm also concerned that, there's a systemic, besides we could reduce it to Superintendent White. My concern is that an individual's career is on the balance because of a 21-year-old allegation, not a conviction, not a charge, but an allegation. So that to me is problematic. Particularly, it's an individual who actually has been promoted. And the allegation we're talking about was around when he was in the force for 11 years. He's been in the force for 32. And he's been promoted during that period and in leadership positions. So I don't think this raises an issue, not so much about Superintendent White or Commissioner White, but really about what we talked about during the summer is transparency and accountability in the police department. And it just, in my mind, that's an issue that we dealt with, particularly the OPAT, which we really fought to have implemented and which the city council has adopted.
So I feel like that cuts both ways, though, because also, as Deb and I were just discussing, how did we get to a point where, from a transparency standpoint, no one knew about these allegations ever? They never came forward. They never came up. Do you see a problem with that?
Well, I think that I have a couple of problems with that. I don't know if no one knew about it. Obviously, somebody knew about it enough to give it for it to be in the paper today. That there was also, the reason why we're reading about this, right, is the fact that the Globe has elevated it. The reality is it's been sitting in some, there was, as I understand it, there was no complaint, a charge against him, but there was a restraining order that was on file back in 1999. There was a divorce that occurred and there were paperwork from that divorce. So that seems to be what we're reading. That is the basis of the conversation that we're having today. We don't know what happened internally and we don't know whether or not there was any kind of action that was taken internally. So that is what I'm saying, is that if there's a transparency, it's a systemic issue that we need to be looking at. And while it's fine to look at this individual and use that individual as the example, perhaps there's a larger issue that needs to be addressed about the transparency and the accountability. And that's what we were working on those 4 months that we spent this summer looking at the issue. And in my mind, if we're going to look at Commissioner, then we need to go back and open the window a little bit wider to take a look at this issue. If we believe,
and
we don't, that, and we know that domestic violence is wrong, it does, it shouldn't matter whether you're the commissioner or whether or not you are a patrolman. That should not be an issue that's tolerated and should be vetted. And therefore, we should open the door and inspect it and make certain that we're holding everyone to the same standard.
All right, let's grab a couple calls here, 800-423-8255. We've got Debbie on the line from Lowell. Debbie, what's your reaction?
So, my initial question was, you know, if this is true type thing. But if, like you're saying, he got divorced because of this, I can't say, you know, knowing people that are, you know, been victims to any type of violence that, you know, against their, from their partner, whatever, should definitely not have that type of job. I mean, how can you tell somebody else, you know, oh, you shouldn't do this if you've done it yourself?
All right. Thanks, Debbie. And let's add one more. Alana from Watertown. Alana, go ahead.
Hi, my name's Alona.
Alona, sorry.
My question is, why, if, I mean, you stated that Officer White, people knew that he had these domestic abuse allegations against him and his gun was surrendered. Why was he still allowed to be an officer who carried a weapon? And what does this mean? Are there other officers who have domestic abuse charges against them? Are they still allowed to be, you know, officers and carry on with their work?
Thanks, Alona.
A statistic is 40% of police officers are domestic abusers.
So, Alona, I don't know that statistic. I don't know where that came from. And I do want to just point out, this is an allegation from 1999. So there could have been any number of steps that the police department may have taken at that time that would be different than now. Deb, yes, please do.
Yeah. I'm just happy to jump in on that because we should say the restraining order was eventually vacated, right? So the conditions of it no longer applied. So then he could carry his gun and he could go back to his marital home, see his children. So that was eventually vacated. And she's right. There's a high percentage of police officers who have been accused of domestic violence. I've seen different studies. I spoke with some attorneys about this earlier today. Usually most studies say about 25%. And again, as Marie St. Fleur pointed out, these were accusations, right? And he was not charged with a crime. So, but we don't know how it was handled within the police department. And that's really the issue.
So I want to ask Marie, there will be an investigation. It will come up with findings. Is there a path back for Commissioner White, regardless of the findings? He only served for 7 days. There will most likely be a new mayor. Is this a situation where there's any outcome that gets resolved where Commissioner White is long-term the commissioner of the Boston Police Department?
I mean, I don't know. I honestly don't know, because I don't know if this was a long-term appointment or a short-term appointment. I do think that now that they're talking about an independent investigation, I say, okay, open the windows. Don't just open the doors and do a full investigation and make certain that we take care of the matter. And perhaps in that investigation, we might learn more, right? Because right now, the voice that we're hearing is the voice of the alleged victim who filed the restraining order. The restraining order was vacated, and this occurred in the midst of what appears to be a contentious divorce proceedings. So that there are a lot of extenuating circumstances that we don't know about, which we're now commenting on, you know, 21 years later. So that's that. Hopefully, whatever the investigation is, it will reveal. But again, my concern is that we're talking about this 21 years later, and there's been opportunity, whether when he was appointed deputy, he's been in leadership for a while, and that never created an issue. So we have captains, we have patrolmen, we don't know. So the question is, are we going to take a systemic look at this issue? Are we simply going to take a look at what happened here 21 years ago and say, okay, we've elevated it. Now he's gone. And then we go back to business as usual. And that is my concern with the way that this whole piece was presented. I think there's a level of unfairness that concerns me on the way this was handled.
So I do want to know, one of our producers pulled some information. This is from an article in The Atlantic in 2014 that says, quote, two studies have found that at least 40% of police officer families experience domestic violence, in contrast to 10% of families in the general population, end quote. Mm-hmm. So Deb Becker, I'm putting you on the spot here. You may not be able to answer this question. You know, we're, 15 hours into this. What do we know about how an investigation will unfold in this case?
Well, at this point, yeah, I mean, we don't know, really. It's not every day, obviously, that something like this happens. We just know that the city has announced who it's retained to begin looking into this. When we've had other issues in the state and there have been independent investigations, typically folks are very close-lipped about those for a long time. An attorney will gather all the various parties together, probably have a team of folks working and asking people, collecting documents, and then we'll put together some sort of an investigatory report, and the city will decide what to do from there. I mean, that's, you know, but otherwise in terms of timeline and more specifics than that, I don't think we know. But I wonder, you know, if I may ask Marie St. Fleur, I just wonder, not so much about this specifically, but does this mean at a time when police reform is so much at the forefront, doesn't this suggest that perhaps there needs to be a different process in choosing a new commissioner? I mean, shouldn't it be open to more people? Should it just be a mayoral appointment? Or do you think that this incident will make changes in the way the next commissioner is named?
And so, again, I think we were looking at I'm thinking of this as an interim, this particular as an interim action, and I don't know that for a fact, so I'll state that. But I will also direct folks to the Boston police reform that we worked on this summer, where that issue was raised as well. And we suggested that, you know, that the OPAT should have an opportunity to comment on hirings. And so I don't know that it will necessarily change overall. I think that an executive should have the right to change, to select their cabinet. I think the issue here is there is a consistent issue within the police department, which is why we sat at the table, around transparency and accountability. The issue of domestic violence is I think is one that we discussed around the table, and the concerns around domestic violence and how it's handled and how it's reported. Those were issues that were wrestled with. And in fact, if you take a look at the report, it is one of the recommendations that's highlighted there, and one of the regulations we submitted. So should there be more opportunity to impact the pool? Absolutely. But I do believe that an executive has the right to select their cabinet.
All right, we're going to have to stop there. That was Marie St. Fleur, a former Massachusetts state representative and now a principal at St. Fleur Communications. She was a member of the Boston Police Reform Task Force, and WBUR's own Deborah Becker reporting there. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.